Welcome to the Echo Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
I've said this before, and it won't be the last time you hear it, but your life is a full-blown miracle. Your life is a miracle. I shared this stat last time, and it's bigger than this, and if you actually look into the science of this, it is like undeniably your life is a miracle. You have one in 400 trillion chance to be alive on this earth. Like, your life is a miracle. The chance of you actually, like your parents meeting and that forms and then their parents meeting and then that forms, like your life is an actual miracle today. You being alive is one in 400 trillion chance of you being alive. In science, they call it an actual miracle. The chances of you being alive is... And now think about that in the context of your life, what you do every day, where you go every day, who you interact with every day, because not only is your life a miracle, one in 400 trillion, so is theirs. Let that sink in, that when God, who created the world, designed you, created you, formed you, knitted you together. Like, you are on purpose and on design. If anyone said you're an accident, they're an idiot. Sorry. They need to think about their words before they speak. You are not an accident, because the God who created the world formed and created you. That's the only explanation to one in 400 trillion chance of you being you. That the God who formed everything saw you in existence. And not only you in existence, but you alive at this point in time. At this very moment. I turned 41 on Tuesday. Yes, got married on my 21st birthday. Wouldn't recommend. 41 on Tuesday. God chose for Lee to be 41 in 2024. I am not an accident. I'm here on purpose, with thought, with intent, with creation made for now. What does that tell me? What does it tell you? It tells me, hopefully it tells you something similar, that you're not an accident, that you're not a loser, that you're not a nobody, that you're not an idiot, that you're not a waste of space, that you're not someone who's got no purpose, that you're not here just to fill in time, but you are actually here on purpose for a time. Your family needs you. Your workplace needs you. Your friends need you. Your neighbors need you. The people around you need you. Why? Because you're here at this time. And the chances of you being here at this time is slim to none, but you are. You get to live your life. You get to live your life with intention. Knowing full well that you are not an accident, knowing full well that the God who created everything actually thought about you and designed and formed and knitted you for now. Bella, one of my children, when she started school, my kids have asked that I don't preach about them. So no names will be said. One of my children, when they started kinder, one of the things that I love about their school is it's extremely multicultural. And when Bella started kinder, she was the only white child in the class. And she came home, I said, "How was your first day?" She goes, "No one looks like me." Fair observation. I said, "No, do you know what that tells me? They're missing out on you. They're missing out on someone like you. That they need you in their life because they need someone different in their life." And from that moment on, she's who she is. No questions asked. No questions asked. I found out this week, she's got One of my kids has a friendship group. It's fine, she's not in the room. Love you, Bella. There's six of them in their friendship group this year. Four are Asian and speak Mandarin. One's African, and then there's the white, blonde-headed, blue-eyed girl. I said, Bella, how do you feel like that? She goes, oh, looking at me like this is the worst question ever. Like, great. What sort of question's that? The world needs my daughter as an 8-year-old in her school. The world needs you in your world, in your family. That's how God intended it. 1 in 400 trillion. Romans 12, 1-2 from the Message version. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. Sorry, can you get my glasses? Let's start again. So here's what I want you to do. Oof. God helping you, take your ordinary everyday life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I'm going to read it all and then we're going to look at it. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants for you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So here you have an option. Wow. Here you have an option. You can choose to live an ordinary everyday life, sleeping, eating, going to work, and have it look like that. Or you can choose to recognize, I'm not an accident. It's not happenstance. It's not mum and dad had fun one night and woohoo, here I am. The chances of you being the woohoo are slim to none, except that a creator got you two together. Sorry, got them together and worked it all out. So you can choose to live this life, or you can choose to acknowledge who He is, and as a result, who He created me to be, and live this life on purpose, on design, not any day ordinary, you know, get up, do my things, go to sleep and repeat. 5 days a week, you get to the weekend, what do we do? Don't know, and that's your weekend. Or you can choose to acknowledge, actually, there's something pretty incredible about me. There's something pretty incredible about you. On purpose, on design, by thought, by intention of the creator of the world, there is something pretty incredible about you. And you get to step into that space that the creator of the world made you. And I'm going to jot down just because of my glasses and I can't be bothered putting them on and off again. God brings the best out of you. That line there at the end of verse 2, God brings the best out of you. He brings the absolute best out of you. Why? Because He made you. He's the only one who can. Justin and I have been married 20 years. We've had ups, we've had downs, we've had good times, we've had hard times. More good than hard. But the heart have been hard. But He doesn't bring the best out of me every day. Sometimes the worst of me comes out when I'm around Him. Sometimes. There's one who will always bring the best out of you every day, in every moment, in every situation. And that's the one who formed you, the one who knitted you, the one who created you. That is our God. 1 in 400 trillion chance you're alive. I want to go and jump into this. Proverbs 22:6. So we've talked about God forming and the chances of you being alive is a full-blown miracle. and God formed you and created you. That's the only explanation, really. And then let's now go to the very beginning. Proverbs 22:6 in the Passion Translation. Dedicate your children to God. What are we doing today? Dedicating some babies to the Lord. And point them in the way that they should go. And the values that they've learned from you will be with them for life. I love this proverb. I hold on to it because I've got young kids and it's one that I apply to my life and I remind myself of the cause and effect. If I do this, then this will happen. And the this will happen is a pretty big thing because it's about my child. Dedicate your children to the Lord. A lot of you in here have done this. A lot of you in the past have done this. As you had babies, you've done this. Young children, you've done this. Why do we do this? Why do we dedicate our kids to the Lord? Why are we having a couple of kids being dedicated today to God? It's not because we're saying they're going to be saved or it's for their salvation. That's something they have to choose. And it's not for baptism of Holy Spirit. That's something they choose. It's not water baptism. That's something they choose. It's actually about us. It's actually us saying, God, we're dedicating this child to you. God, we're giving this child to you. Not literally giving, but we're saying, God, we're doing this in partnership. We know that they are a miracle. We acknowledge that the chances of them being alive, the chances of Caleb and Shiloh being alive is 1 in 400 trillion. So from the very beginning, we're saying, yes, God, we're dedicating it to you. We're dedicating this baby to you. We're saying, help us. We can't do this without you. And then the next part, I love it, point them in the way that they should go. Let's just point, another word is teach, instruct, inform, don't know what that word is, but point. Point them. We don't control them. Oh. We don't control our kids. We show them where to go. We point them in the direction to go. We teach them where to go. I heard a podcast and it said this. You don't say to your child, You don't say to your child, do you want to serve in the house of the Lord? You say to the child, where do you want to serve? The pointing is the here it looks like, but you've got all this freedom within this boundary. There's non-negotiables, but where there is, you've got freedom right here. So we get to point and reveal Jesus, where they should go. This one's a challenging one, as a parent for me anyway. I sometimes like to control situations. Where they should go, not where I want them to go. Where they should go. So here's what I get to do, is I've got two children, most of you know them, and they are so opposite. I know they're Justin and my kids, but wow, so opposite. And I get the privilege of looking at the individual child and go, God, I'm doing this with you. They are yours. You formed, you knit it. But right now, I get to teach them the values of the kingdom. I get to teach them the values of kindness, of a firm foundation, of prayer, of healing. I get to teach them about salvation and the cross. I get to teach them about this. But then not only do I get to teach them and point them into that direction, I also get to show them their uniqueness, who they are as an individual. Because 1 in 400 trillion is a chance of you being alive, but then now break this down, none of us are the same. Yeah. And we get to individually look at our kids, and now let's just talk about us as adults in this room. You get to look at everyone in this room, and there is no one like you in here. There is no one the same as you in here. You might have some similarities, but there is no two of you. There's no two Lees. Some would say that's a good thing, I think that's a negative, but there's no two Lees. There is no two of you. Why? Because you are a miracle. And the God who created the world formed you and made you unique. So when we look at our kids and we get to teach and we get to train them in how they should go, not how we want them to go or how they want themselves to go, but how they should go. What's the promise? What's the after effect? When they are old, they will not depart from it. When they are old, the values that we have instilled in them, they will have for life. Willow, they'll have for life. My kids had athletics at their school last week. Jude's first one, he's in prep. I'm going to finish with this. Bella's in grade two. And I don't know my kids' abilities when it comes to sports because, well, we don't do athletics, we don't do sports just because we don't have time. And anyway, we're going to step into that. So Bella goes first, as in her year level. The preps did it on their own. Bella's with the other year levels and she goes. And I get to go and I get to watch six events and I get to watch her do all six. She pretty much came last in all six. She's got my sporting ability. Ah, poor girl. She actually said, why did I have to take after you when it comes to sports? Sorry. But yet, as I watched her at every event, she was the number one cheerleader for not just Red House, and we're talking she's got red face paint, red scarves, she's decked out in red. She's cheering for her friends that are in Green House and Blue House, and she's calling out their names and give me an H, and or Hattie, like she's full on like Alana, calling out all their names and like full cheer squad. In the long jump, she runs. Jumps, not far, jumps. Can I just say, no one has fallen over, but she stands there after the jump, puts her hands in the air and yells, stick to the landing! She's cheering herself on to the smallest jump in the class, but she sticks the landing. So finished Bella do her events. Then comes Jude, first event, 50 metre, one. Shot put, one. High jump, second. Long jump, second. Hurdles, one.
Boom, boom. Yeah. Come on.
The relay, they came last, but that wasn't his fault. A couple of the people dropped the baton, so. So opposite. But God made them both. God formed them both. I want to finish with Corinthians to encourage all of us. Oh, I didn't write it down. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 17. For just as there are many parts to our body that form the body, so in the body of Christ, there are many parts. You don't say to a hand doesn't say to an eye, I don't need you. We need all of us. God formed you to be alive at this time. The world needs you at this time. We need you at this time. Your family needs you at this time.